You guys love Rig Rundowns. We love Rig Rundowns. Please like and subscribe so we can keep doing these Rig Rundowns.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys, Four from Your Guitar. We're hanging out at the Ryman Auditorium for a Rig Rundown with Haley Williams' band. Joined by Joey, the bass player. Joey, how you doing?
Good, great. Having a good tour.
Yeah, man, I bet. You guys are kind of like camping out in each city a couple nights, getting to spend time, get local.
Yeah.
And currently you're in Nashville.
That's right,
which is, you know, Haley's hometown, so that's cool.
Yeah, old stomping grounds for me. It's nice to be back, yeah.
Are these the first shows that you've ever performed at the Ryman, or
No, Paramore's, Paramore's performed here, I think on the last album cycle.
Okay.
We were here.
Well, let's back up. Mm-hmm. I want to see how you got into the sphere. Can you explain how, was it through your brother?
Oh, you mean how I got involved with
the
camp?
Yeah, with like the whole Paramore slash Haley camp?
You know, it was actually back in 2009 or 10,
okay,
right on the cusp there. Josh Farrow, the old guitar player, hired me as his guitar tech.
Okay.
And I was touring with other bands at the time, so it was in the realm of what I was doing, but I had never guitar teched before, so of course I just lied and said that I could. And I just kind of figured it out as I went with the help of some other techs in the camp. And so that's how I got introduced to the touring world of Paramore.
All right.
And then I did that for about 6 years until the departure of their bass player. And I was there, I was around, and I got to try out.
Yeah.
And that was quite the process, a little scary, nerve-wracking, but it forced me to really step it up and hone in my playing skills, and I was terrified.
Yeah, I bet.
But eventually, I got the gig in 2016 playing,
right, so on.
I made that transition from teching to
playing. It's funny how many times we've heard that story happen a couple times.
Like
where the tech has become a band member.
Yeah, yeah.
It just kind of keeps showing up, and then eventually you get the gig.
I still can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
I still pinch myself every day on tour. I'm like, this is crazy. Someone is now teching for me.
Yeah.
A dear friend
DK.
Of mine. Yeah, Derek Kern. It's a dream.
Awesome. Yeah. Can you tell me about your approach? Because obviously when you joined the band as official capacity as a musician, you kind of had filled in the role for Jeremy and like the parts that he, you know, had on the records. But going forward with Paramore and then also, you know, the solo stuff you worked with Haley on with Pedals and the, you know, Ego Death. How have you found your own voice and what she's trying to express in her art? But, you know, you're finding yourself as a bass player that's not just mimicking or copying those parts, but now you're kind of living, breathing and now creating.
Totally.
So how's that process been?
It's definitely been a process finding my own voice.
Yeah.
Amongst, you know, touring musicians were there to regurgitate and play parts that were recorded and with a varying level of, you know, like interpretation.
Yeah.
So to then kind of like stray from that, and I guess for me, it started with songwriting.
Yeah.
I just had a drum machine and my bass, and I just like made all these ideas and demos and really kind of basic stuff, like basic in production. And I guess, eventually I kind of just showed one to Haley, played it for her, and she liked it. So it was a very natural progression for me because she gave me the platform to kind of like just be myself musically, you know. It really just kind of, we gelled in that way. So
yeah, and there's a lot of moments on specific to Ego Death, because that's the album that I know that you guys are really playing hard on the tour.
Yeah,
is that there's a lot of bass moments. Like, it's a bass heavy record.
We'll
talk to the guitar players in a minute, but there's a lot of bass playing, and it's like bass forward where it's just kind of you and Haley's voice. It's a special moment, I'm sure.
Yeah, man, it feels so special and so surreal to get to perform it. And, you know, Dan and Haley wrote the record.
Yeah.
They thankfully just really like bass. I don't know, I feel kind of lucky, you know, and they had me play on some of it. And so it's cool to have been able to then kind of inject it with, I guess, some of the Pedals for Armor vibe, you know, which, because that's just what I bring. That's what I got, you know. So it was like really flattering that they had me kind of come in and just, you know, to tickle the bass.
Yeah, so how did you guys divvy up the parts? Because I know Daniel did a lot of, obviously, like you said, programming, guitar, all this instrumentation that he did. But then there's Brian played bass too. So it's like, how did you guys divvy up the different bass parts on the record?
Well, I don't actually know, to be honest. I know Brian worked on a lot of production, so I think naturally he's a wonderful bass player, and I think it just like kind of happened naturally in that way. And the ones that I played on, they just kind of chose for me, had me in mind.
Yeah.
So I don't really know if I have an answer for that, other than we kind of do offer different flavors.
Yeah.
Well,
right on, Joey.
Cool.
Can we talk about, let's get into the gear.
Sure,
this beautiful gold Jazzy.
Yes, this is a 1981 all-original gold. It's got even like the gold hardware.
Wow.
Fender Jazz Bass that was a gift from a dear friend. It's like the best gift I've ever been given.
Yeah, no joke.
It's also the heaviest bass I have. I think it's like 12, 13.
Wow.
It's super heavy.
Yeah.
But I really like using this for more finger style playing.
Okay.
I just feel like the jazz bass just like is asking for a more delicate feel. And I like, I have Labello round wounds on here, which I also really like their clarity, and the top end isn't too hypey.
Okay.
So it really, like I used this on Ego Death.
All right.
And I used this on something else. I'm totally forgetting. I used this on Ego Death, and it just has like such a punch to it.
Can
like,
we hear
such a
kind
sparkle.
Of that specific kind of sound for that song?
Sure. Just kind of
sounds great.
It's really fun to play finger style for sure. Yeah. So I kind of and I use it on Zisu Live.
That's a great bass song too.
Yeah. That was I'm not sure who played that, but I love that song.
Yeah.
I think it might have been Haley who played the bass on that.
Oh, right on.
Don't
what do you think about
quote
it?
Quote me on that.
As someone, we won't quote you, but it will be on the internet.
That's fine.
But what do you think about that song for you in terms of your performance?
For Zisu?
Yeah.
Or for the one that I performed
no,
on for
Zisu.
Ego Death? It's actually quite challenging just because it's like the same groove the whole way through.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. It starts with Haley on the drum machine. It just kind of builds naturally, and it's really fun to play with her singing on top of that.
Yeah.
The interplay is really fun.
Yeah, it's been great to see some of the videos come out of, you know, fans taking their phone out during the show, seeing how the album transforms in a performance level in terms of like the songs are still there, the core's still there, the intention's still there, but it's a whole different animal.
It
you
really
guys
is.
Recreate it in a different way that's, you know, applicable to the stage.
Mm.
But the integrity of the song is still there.
Oh, thanks for saying that.
Yeah,
we try.
Cool. It's a very dynamic set that you guys go through.
Oh, cool. Thanks so much.
Of course. Now, what should we know about this? What do you got, a red P behind you?
Yeah, this is kind of like just a nod to my very first bass that I ever got, which was, it looked
brand new.
Just like this. It was a Squire P bass that I got when I was like 12. And this is only like 4 or 5 years old. It's
it's like you've been taking care of it.
Yeah, you know, this is the first tour it's been on. It's
okay.
just been sitting in my house waiting for the right moment.
Yeah.
And it just felt right for some of the heavier stuff. This is a Made in Japan reissue that they put out 5 years or so ago. And then, so this one I tend to use a pick. Sorry, my reach there.
No, you're good.
And then it tends to be a little dirtier. So like I'll start with like Martazapine, which is the first song in the set. So that would be like. Just kind of like classic dirty EP.
Yeah, and that's what you kicked on the bass overdrive here, yeah, by Nobles.
Yeah, exactly. I have a few of these, and basically each sound for each bass is based off of one of these pedals.
Okay.
So they're three different settings, even though they're the same pedals.
And then you only use it specific to each pedal gets used with another
with
bass.
Each, right, like this one here, number six, only gets the jazz bass.
Okay, and number four is...
Yep, is this guy. Okay. This is for like the Gibson Ripper. Another song on this bass. And then I kind of just stack my overdrives from there.
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah, so... Real nasty for choruses.
You kicked on the rat there.
Yep, rat. Lil rat.
Yeah.
Lil rat. And then I have this DCX bass pedal that I'll use on... the Hofner bass in a little bit, but yeah, this is kind of the more like rock punch bass, so.
And what you mentioned labella strings, but what are you using for gauges?
Gauges are pretty standard. I think I'm at using 105s.
Okay.
Yeah, to 45s.
Right on.
And I use their round wounds and their flat wounds.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah. So I'm guessing the Hofner probably has flats?
Yes, it has labella. Yeah. They're like a medium scale. And I'm just such a fan of the tension of those strings. Mm. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's meet a couple other basses.
All right, cool. This next one is a 1978 Antigua. Obviously, that's the Finnish P bass. And it's all original. You can tell it's like super worn in from the previous owner. But yeah, I love this. This is like exclusively my flat wound bass.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll use a pick, but it just has such a warmth and a reactiveness, especially on the left hand. I can really like bounce around, which is really fun.
Give her a bounce.
Yeah, so I like to play a lot of chords on this one because I get so much clarity on that top end, but then, you know, you still hear the frets with the flat wounds.
Yeah.
I kind of tend to brighten my tone up to get all of that action.
Mm.
So this allows me to do that. Yeah, super fun. I use it on everything I do.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a lot
it's
of recordings,
go-to, huh?
And yeah, this is probably my number one, I would say.
Now, how much of what we've seen so far, and we will see, is reflective in terms of like what you would bring out to a Paramore show? Is
this for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of these. The Gibson Ripper I play, because that's very like piano-y on the low end, so... for Ain't It Fun, the slap part, it really plays into that.
And okay.
It sings, so a lot of rock stuff.
All right.
And then this would be more like the After Laughter era.
All right.
Which is a lot of like flat wounds with a pick.
Mm.
So it kind of does it all, you know?
And then reflective of your pedals here, kind of the same setup?
Roughly. I have a few different things. But it kind of just always changes.
Yeah.
It's generally always the same. I'll just swap in different overdrives or chorus pedals. But yeah, this is pretty much the same thing.
Are you always on the hunt when it comes to basses or gear? Are you always checking out new things? Or how do you get acquired to new gear and stuff?
I feel like I'm going to get destroyed for this. No, I don't. I'm like, I feel so content at the moment, which
That's
is
good.
So...
It's a good place to live.
Not what most musicians are saying.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just really like getting to know the gear that I have.
Yeah.
Not that I'm unique in that, but I just tend to really spend a lot of time with it.
You're focusing on also being creative.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can get in a wormhole chasing sounds.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I probably have like 10 basses, so I'm not at a shortage. I feel like I have my basses covered.
There you go.
So, yeah.
How do you find out when it comes to basses? I know that one of them was a gift, but like, how are you chasing down basses and looking for them?
I have a really good friend, Riley Eminger, who knows everything about gear. He built my pedal board.
Oh, perfect.
And he's really steered me in a lot of really good direction. But other than that, just like exploration, like I kind of stumbled upon this bass, and it was totally emotional. I just like fell in love with it in the store.
That's dangerous. Just,
yeah, it's super dangerous. That's probably why I don't look very often, because I know I'll buy stuff. But yeah, it's kind of just very whimsical for me. It's got to speak to me.
Nice. Can we hear the Gibson there?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I do appreciate, as you get the Gibson on, is that it sounds like you kind of let the basses dictate where they go and are used based on their strengths.
Exactly.
And try to shoehorn something in.
And they all have like very distinct uses and very distinct sounds.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does kind of dictate itself, I guess. This one I'll use on like glum, for example. And then I'll kick on an overdrive pedal for the chorus, and so you can hear that
all
difference.
Right.
Yeah,
that little rat does it,
dude. Isn't that great?
Yeah,
it's kind of funny, and because of its size, it literally is so tiny, but I love it. Put a big red target on it.
Now what else are you using down here? You know, we kind of covered the Noble bass overdrives, mm-hmm. and how those are getting used in different basses. The DC bass from Origin you kind of touched
on. Yeah.
But you have another Origin, the Cali 76, the compressor. Is that just on all the time?
It's on all the time, same settings for every bass.
Got it.
I tend not to overthink my my signal flow too much. I kind of, like, that is the first thing in the chain. Mm. But then afterwards, it kind of gets a little, like, if you were to analyze the order, it might make your head explode, because it just kind of works for me. I just pop a pedal in, EQ it, and leave it there.
Got it.
So big fan of kind of making that work.
What's the big knob black box?
This one here is it's just a volume cut. It's something my friend Riley made me to just you know, like the Hofner, I'll use it on like a bridge of a song, and I just want it to be quieter and more delicate for that moment, so I can pop that on. Or if I'm doing a slap part or something, I'll pop that on, just because the output then gets so much louder, you know. It helps.
So yeah. It's a pragmatic thing.
Yes, very, very much so. And then this is just like for my microphone talk back.
All right.
I have a little button I can push, and it turns my microphone into a talkback that goes into our in-ears. So I'm not just, you know,
screaming.
I have a way to communicate if I need to. Yeah. And then, of course, everything at the end of my signal chain goes into the Noble preamp, the Tube DI.
All right.
Which is just like the most magical tone, like, create. It just enhances everything so much. It doesn't color it too much. It just sits right in the mix. It's wonderful.
Gives you that core tone.
Yeah, so I just run all my pedals through that, and then from there it goes, you know, to front of house with the DI signal, and then splits off to my amp.
Which you have a Sun 200 here, or 2000, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 2000S. These are from 1969, and they're running strong. I mean, they definitely need a little love every now and again.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything in the cab is original, and these are 15-inch speakers, so it really...
Yeah, you can really thump.
You can feel it.
Yeah, I bet.
For sure. It's really useful, and it sounds great. It takes my pedals really well, and I mean, I can only run it on about one,
because
it's so much power, and one's pretty loud. Right now, we're at about half that.
Quarter, yeah.
Yeah, a quarter.
Now, with like a song, Brotherly Hate, there's, I don't know if that gets feathered in with front of house, but there's like a huge sub sound to that.
Yes.
Is that anything you're doing, or does that get front of house?
That's actually all played on this song.
Oh.
On the Mini Moog. That's exclusively Mini Moog on that song.
Okay, because that's...
It's deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of need that to get to get that low end.
Have you ever messed with the Taurus, the floor based kind of like?
Oh no, I haven't.
Yeah, it's like a Moog.
But for your feet.
Yeah, you're kind of able to do it with your feet.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and it plays, I think, either notes or chords.
Oh.
So you can play, add that under what you're playing with the regular bass.
Oh my God, I gotta get one of those.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Don't blame me when you buy one.
Oh, I won't. Only give you credit.
Perfect, I love that. Should we move on to the Hofner?
Yeah, absolutely. This one is a new discovery for me. My friend told me about this. It's called the Very Thin Hofner. I had no idea they existed, but it is very thin.
It is.
As you can see. And
as
it's
advertised.
A medium scale. And yeah, I use it for like Dream Girl and Shibuya. I use it on Love Me Different. I'll like palm mute that with, here's my setup. So. See, yeah, it's like
those flats really.
It's Beatles-y, but it's a little different. It's got a little different character to it. But yeah, and it's just good for. It's so punchy and full. It's great.
Does the scaling kind of was there some adjustment?
A little bit, yeah. And the strings are super close together. So my clumsy hands are just like, you know, think smaller, just like get closer together, but worth it for sure. Would highly recommend, and they're really affordable.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah. The only two pedals I think, but me keeping track that we haven't really talked on or heard were the two in the left there. It looks like a DOD chorus
and then
the harmonic booster.
That's right. Yeah, the harmonic booster, I leave that on. This is from Dark Glass.
Okay.
And it just stays on. It's kind of, I use it as an EQ, essentially. I love what it does to the high end on the bass, just so much clarity. So again, it's kind of like at the end, but I just leave it on and it just makes everything sound better, honestly.
So what you're trying to do is you're trying to use it to define the high end a little better?
Yeah, in the mids, it gave me a mid option. Which is nice, bringing it from an EQ rather than the mids on the overdrive.
Oh.
It just gives me a little more clarity and not so muddy. And then this chorus, I'm only using on like, on Showbiz right now on the chorus. And it's kind of warbly and weird, but I love it. It's actually a stereo chorus, but I just take one side
mono,
of it.
Yeah.
I just kind of picked which one I like better.
The DOD stuff is like, it's older, but it's got its quirks, but those quirks are kind of beautiful.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so much character, and I love the blue. I love the metal box that it's made in, and
Okay, I misspoke. The only one we haven't talked about is this Green Max.
Yes, the one that never gets used.
Oh, really?
I put it on there. I thought it would be a good option, and I just didn't need it, but I like the way it looks, and it's better than having a blank spot, you know? It'll come in handy someday, but...
Yeah, I see someone already got vacated.
Yeah, somebody got the boot. That's for my hopes and dreams, you know, just in case I find a pedal on tour. It's nice to have the option to, like, pop it in, but yeah, it works for me. I could have this at every gig, and I would feel... totally happy with it.
Well, Joey, I'm very happy that you took the time and talked to us. We're going to talk to your bandmates about their setups.
That sounds great.
Thank you so much for your time, man.
It was so fun.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Thank you.
All right,
we are joined by Brian. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's so nice to be here with you guys.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Thanks for making time. This is a special treat for all of us. We're big fans of Haley and Paramore here.
Yeah,
she's one of the favorite children of Nashville, and she's representing us well.
Absolutely.
You're representing her band. I've got to go back to how did you get involved with the camp?
So I think about 2019, I met Taylor at a, actually I invited him to, I played in town, I was playing with Vampire Weekend.
Okay.
And I actually was playing a guitar from this company Built Guitars for a while.
From Iowa.
Yeah,
my
exactly.
Homeland.
And I met them kind of through that, and then I had a bunch of work lined up, and then it kind of went away, and the first people I called was I was like, I would really like to play with Paramore. So So then I hit them up. I just texted Taylor and I was just like, hey, I'm free if you guys need anybody. And he's like, okay, we'll see something. And then a couple weeks later, I was like, they were like, oh yeah, you want to play bass on the record and you want to play guitar with us live maybe? And I was like, yeah, sure. So yeah, it was kind of a crazy situation how that happened.
But yeah, you just put your name out there and it worked out.
Yeah, exactly. So, and now we're here.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've been a fan of the band forever, and I always said, like, you know, if there's any way I could play with them at some point, that'd be really cool. So,
well, you manifested your own destiny.
I did. I tried to, at least. Yeah.
Credit to you, man. Now, what was it like recording? I know some of your parts were on Ego Death as well. You got to contribute to that. What was that like?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Haley and Dan were just working on some tracks, and I had been texting Haley a little bit, just saying, like, hey, you know, I heard she was working on music. I was like, hey, if you need anything, you know, hit me up. And then they were just like, hey, you know, actually, we have a couple things. You should, like, add a couple things to this. So I was literally just in my garage, like a garage studio I had at the time in LA. And I was just like, you know what? They sent me like four songs, and I just like kind of spent a couple hours on each of them, just adding every idea that came to mind and adding my little blips and blops all over the place. And then sent them over, and they were like, this is sick. And so it ended up being like a couple guitar solos on the record and just a couple little
like Kill Me
weird moments. Yeah, the Kill Me solo and something, a bunch of stuff on Love Me Different and Good Old Days. And then what was it, there was one more that I played on, Brotherly Hate.
The outro there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the outro solo.
Yeah. So,
well, let's get into some of these blips and blops, and let's start with the Strat.
Yeah,
what's this story?
This is my most storied guitar, probably. It has had a long life. I my friend in like my high school band, the guitar player, I played bass in my high school band. I always wanted a guitar. He had the Strat in his basement that his friend left there. It was like kind of like a made in Mexico, like 90s Strat, that it just was left in his basement for months, or years actually at that point. And then after like 2 years of it just sitting there, I was like, can I just take that? And like, if he ever asked for it, just, you know, I'll be if you have to give it back. But so I ended up just taking it, and now it's been kind of like my workhorse guitar since I was like 16 years old.
Did you do all the artwork?
I did. COVID was crazy. And I really like to illustrate and draw and all that stuff. So I was like, oh, why not just try getting into painting guitars? So I painted a handful of my guitars. I have very few guitars left that are not painted.
All right.
But I just wanted to have fun with it. It's mostly just like dumb Star Wars references and inside jokes with my friends that I lived with at the time. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it's all kind of stupid. But I really like how it looks, and people really like how it looks. And
now, that when you got out of your friend's basement, did it have the lipstick set up in it?
Or no,
is that you?
Yeah, that was like another thing. It's had like three different paint jobs. and then I got these put in it when I was starting to play with Vampire Weekend in 2017. My friend Eric Bailey, who runs a great store in L.A., said, oh dude, you should do something cooler with this Strat. Is like, you should put like lipsticks in it. So I was like, sure, why not? And I got a set of Curtis Novak lipstick pickups and put it in, and it sounds like it's a pretty unique sounding Strat. It's like really bright and really, but it still has like some girth to it.
Let's hear it.
Yeah this is like usually I use it stereo chorus, and position right there. That's like kind of my favorite sound on guitar. This is what I use on Love Me Different, in the chorus. That's kind of the sound from that.
Yeah.
I love playing this guitar. And actually, Fender Nashville, when we were rehearsing, my neck was kind of in bad shape, and I had sanded down this Fender logo, and Fender's just been so amazing to me for over the years. And I was like, I kind of want to get the Fender logo back. So we were trying to figure out a way to like paint it back on or something.
Yeah.
And I guess one of the tech we were working with hit up Kevin Shuck at Fender in Nashville.
Yeah,
yeah, great dude. And got me a nice new neck. I was just looking to get a decal, but there's like, do you just want a new, like an American neck? I was like, you know what? Sure, let's try it out. And super nice, and really love it. It has the clay dots on it. And it's a great little guitar.
I know that you mentioned Love Me Differently is kind of a song you play. What other songs do you use it for?
I use this on Kill Me. I this is the guitar I recorded. Actually, all the guitars I did on Ego Death, I used this guitar.
All right.
And I used this guitar with the 10 Years pedal, which is made by some friends in LA too, which is great. And this is kind of the sound for that.
Thank you.
kind of got this, I really like it. It's kind of based off of a PV Decade.
Yeah.
And it just has like such a nice drive to it. This is like my favorite guitar pedal I have. I just got an actual PV Decade from PV. Yeah. Cause you know, I'm using the PV Bandits on stage, using them for mostly monitoring, but cause you know, I just need to get some feedback every now and then, but, I like all the PV stuff. These kind of have really surprised. I didn't really know what to expect. I'd never used these before. Mm. But Haley's actually from Meridian, Mississippi, which is where PV is headquartered, where they are from. So we wanted to try to have some PV stuff on stage, kind of like give a shout out to Meridian.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I was like, yeah, I'm down to, let's throw some Bandits up on stage. And
John and Perry call them the Mississippi Marshals.
I heard that. I love that. But now, they're great, yeah.
Before we move off the Strat, can you to show us this? Like the solo tone, what pedals you're using for Kill Me?
Yeah, was absolutely. It's actually just that. It's the 10 years, the chorus, the Ibanez bi-mode chorus. I have this Line 6 delay, the classic. A couple different settings in there. And I kind of have two solo modes for that song where I do the initial solo, which is on the record, which I kind of do this. And I put this MXR microamp on.
Okay.
The thing I like about having the actual pedal board rather than the fractal is I usually use a fractal. But I kind of like to be able to change stuff up like on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
It's much harder to do when you
paint with different colors.
Have to do it with like a computer and stuff like that. So I typically, for the main solo sound, it's usually this. Kind of do that thing.
Yeah.
And then I'll turn it up a little bit. I have like a much wetter delay on this Align 6 programmed, and I will turn on this reverb, and you know, I'll put that on too, and I'll just kind of like have this like really washy kind of like. Kind of like one step above, and I'll sometimes throw the fuzz on. I have this R2R fuzz that's made by this shop, Uniform Music. Eric Bailey, same guy who helped me make this guitar, he makes this pedal too. So
I love it. It's
really fun.
Like all the best parts of 80s guitar tone.
Yeah, exactly. I do really lean towards that. I listen to a lot of jazz fusion in high school, so I got really into like John Scofield and like all these guys. I'm mostly a bass player, actually.
Well, I was gonna ask, what instrument do you feel more comfortable on, because I know you've done so much work on bass.
Yeah, I went to USC in LA. I went there, got a bass scholar or bass degree there, not scholarship, but I got a bass degree there, and I played for a couple people like out of school, like, and that was sort of my bread and butter. But then I got hired by Vampire Weekend to play guitar. That was my first real big gig on guitar. I played a couple of local bands in LA, but nothing crazy. But I got that gig, and then ever since, that was the most high profile thing I'd done.
On guitar.
And then after that, so that was all on guitar. So then after that, people just knew me as a guitar player. And I've kind of only worked on guitar, and bass is more of now a hobby and an occasional studio treat.
Just another degree on the wayside, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like guitar is always a little stressful for me.
Yeah. Why?
Because it's just like, I've been playing bass since I was like, you know, like 11 years old, and the guitar, like with the pedals and the technology, and it's kind of fun. I play like a little punkier on guitar because I don't really have that like classic training.
Yeah.
But it's always a fun challenge. I love a challenge. This tour, I'm singing a ton. That was a fun challenge. Like, I don't really do that typically, but I always take a challenge. I love a challenge.
I love that.
So guitar has actually been really fun. It's just, it takes a little more energy for me. Yeah.
Cool. So what should we know about tunings that you guys are using throughout the night?
I pretty much have everything in standard. There's one guitar that I have in drop D for a couple songs, but we're kind of just rocking it standard. It's been kind of nice. Oh, and on my acoustic, we do one song where I play in Dadgad.
Okay.
That Haley came up with a part. It's really cool. And so just try to replicate that the best I can. Dadgad was how I pulled it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And strings, which we know about strings.
I'm using D'Addario's on this tour.
Yeah.
Sound great. Great strings. Very
love
nice
them.
Stuff. Yeah, they're great.
They're our sponsor, so we love you guys as well.
Oh, perfect. We love you, D'Addario.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, should we go into another guitar?
Let's do it.
This Tom DeLonge special here.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the
straight.
Oh, thank you. This was, so I've been working with Fender for a really long time. They gave me like my first, I actually been working with them since like 2009. I got they helped me get a bass when I was in high school, actually, which was when band I was playing at the time. They were like really nice to us and they helped me get a bass. But now I've been working with Matt Farrar at Fender for like probably the better part of 10 years now, who's like a homie of mine. And
yeah, good friend to have.
I know all the dudes in Corona. I do like a lot of videos for them. I do a lot of bass videos for them, actually. I do a lot of bass demos. And but every time I'm getting started to do a new tour, like since I've been playing guitar, I always hit up Matt at Fender and I said, any chance you guys have like a secret Starcaster project that you're working on? Because I just love how they look. I'm a bigger dude and I like to use a bigger guitar if I can. The Strat looks like a little tiny on me and I was like, it's not my favorite. So, but I love Strats. I just, you know, it's a look thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? These Starcasters are Fender and they're pretty cool. But after like the 11th time I asked him, Matt last year was like, you know what? We are doing this Tom DeLonge one now. I know it's not probably what you're looking for, but we can add so it's the Tom DeLonge typically only has the one pickup right here. But they were like, you know, we can add a pickup. We can do a custom colorway for you, you know, figure something out. And they sanded down the neck for me a little bit too, which was cool. And, it's great. It's a cool guitar. I've been getting a lot of compliments on it and, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. I think, the guy who they had put it together for me is this guy, JC August, who's a luthier out in LA. And I haven't met him, but if you're watching, thank you. I really love my guitar. But yeah, they added, you know, a bunch of stuff to it for me, which was really sweet. And it's like the main guitar I've been using on this tour pretty much.
Wow.
So, it's been great.
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Kind of the sounds you got going for it.
I use this on Mirtazapin, which we opened the set with.
Yeah, that song has a great intro guitar riff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sound.
So I have like, I kind of let all this, the reason I have the Bandits up is so I can get feedback on this song pretty much. So I put my compressor on, just like feedback as much as possible. I got a couple drives on, starts feeding back. Sometimes for fun, a little tremolo. And then we do it. And it's kind of like a hard riff. someone recognized it up there. It was a hard riff to kind of get under my fingers for a bit because it's two guitars on the recording.
Yeah.
And I thought about doing some crazy stuff where I try to like, you know, maybe switch the sound every beat. But then I was like, no one will care really. Probably won't translate live. But yeah, I love this guitar for that. And you get this nice little. And then you can hear like this Ibanez the chorus. I've been using it so much. It just sounds so nice and wide, and it just adds this dimension to it that I typically don't have. And I've been using it like I started using it very sparingly, but then as time went on, you know, our front of house guy also said, he's like, the chorus sounds really good. Like whatever that is, it sounds good. So I was like, you know what? It's sort of on most of the time now.
It's like hot sauce. Just keep adding more.
Yeah. It just adds a nice, you know, we have four of us up here. It's like, we're just trying to make the sound nice and big, and it really, it adds a lot. Like it really does. So yeah, I'll just show you like from mono to. Does a whole lot, so
now
it's pretty cool.
How are you working out the guitar parts with, you know, obviously the recordings, you're trying to embrace those as much as possible, using those as a roadmap, but with you and Logan both playing guitar at different points, like how are you guys mapping out what you're doing and how that gets done each night?
Yeah, we work with the producer for the record, Daniel James. He also helped us. He was the music director for the band.
Oh, God,
so he kind of helped us separate parts and figure everything out. And you know, we've had to definitely kind of collab a little bit here and there to just, you know, because there's some stuff we have to change on the fly, or, you know, we played the Colbert show the other day and we had to kind of like, we've had to do some stuff on our own, but him and I have been playing together for a while. We've been sharing this side of the stage for whatever, four years now at this point. So we have a good relationship with
that. Yeah, you
probably
almost have like an unspoken language.
Yeah,
in terms
of
eye contact and just kind of like different nods that you guys know what the other's thinking.
Yeah, and exactly. And we rehearsed a lot for this tour. We like really, so we had it dialed. We did a lot of trial and error. We really dialed it in. So it was fun. He's great. I love Logan's guitar playing. We have very different styles. So we're never really in each other's way.
How would you describe Logan's compared to your more punky style, as you said?
Logan's like definitely a lot more like refined, and Logan's sound design skills are like insane. Like all of his tones are like rock solid. I kind of just work with what I have, and I love everything I have. But Logan's way more. He can get way more particular, way more precise.
Huh.
And you should hear his synth sound design stuff is crazy too. He has such a good ear for tones and dialing that stuff in.
Okay.
It's really, really impressive.
Now, how did you build your pedal board and your rig for this gig? Was it something like Daniel had a part in, or front of house, or how did it all come together to what we see here?
This is actually an old pedal board that I used with Vampire Weekend, just the bones of it. And I've swapped stuff in and out throughout the years, but I had gone to fully fractal for all of Paramore. Actually, I was playing with Vampire Weekend last year, and I was still on Fractal, still on Axe FX. But for this, I was like, you know what, I'm going to bring out the old pedal board. I kind of miss, you know. We had the opportunity to translate, to interpret these songs live for the first time.
That's cool.
And I really wanted to be able to experiment with stuff and have it be a little punkier. You know, Haley really wanted to have, like, a lot of gear on stage and make it feel like, you know, like a lot of big sound was coming from the stage. So it's like, you know what? If we want the visual of the gear, let me at least try this at first.
Yeah.
So I kind of just went back to the drawing board. I got a couple new things, but most of it's new.
You had mentioned before off camera that some of the stuff is from Vampire Weekend.
Yes. When I auditioned for Vampire Weekend, there was a mini pedal board set up. It was just, I think it was me. It might have been this exact one. I don't remember. But this Maleco vibrato was on it, and this... MXR microamp was on it, and I had never, didn't really recognize them. I didn't know what they were, but I had brought a pedal board to that audition, actually, cobbled together, because like I said, that was my first guitar gig.
Yeah.
I had hit up all my guitar player friends to make like a Frankenstein pedal board of sort of like pretend that I had like a whole, you know, I had this whole rig. Yeah, it's all good. I just ended up plugging into one that they had there, and that was on it. That was on it. The microamp and the vibrato. But then, there was also a digital reverb. I actually got this one because it has a stereo in and out.
Mm.
I wanted to have it be stereo this time around. UAD actually gave me a couple pedals that I really like. This golden reverberator is sick. It's a nice spring reverb sound that I have that just kind of does the whole. Really like that pedal.
And then how are you using the digital reverb? Just for stereo applications?
Yeah, the digital reverb has like a different sound. It's a little wetter.
Yeah.
And then I usually use them in combo.
Ooh.
To just get these big sounds, and I'll put some delay on it too. And I kind of do a lot of like delay throws and stuff like that. So I'll do, there was one thing that happened in rehearsals a bunch. We kind of trying to find ways to fill up some space. And Daniel and I were just like, maybe just something atmospheric. So I do an octave up on the pog and just kind of do these volume pedal swells, kind of like an almost pedal steely. So and that's just like a nice big wet sound. So I kind of use.
And where's that at in the set?
Let me think. I use that a bunch of times. On True Believer,
okay.
There's like, I kind of play the little melody at the end like that.
God, that's really convincing, like for a synth sound, that bomb up.
It does something that is really fun. That's something I've been using since, a little trick I've been using since Vampire Weekend too, which just kind of adds like a bit of an ethereal thing to it. It's kind of just something I kind of had to do out of necessity to simulate a pedal steel a couple times. I was like, you know what, actually there's some pretty cool applications for this.
Now, now that you're kind of back to the dark side playing pedals and amps, and I know that you get the DI and this is just for monitoring and feedback, but are you enjoying it more? Do you feel like than it was with the Fractal?
Yeah.
People say sometimes they feel it or there's a lot more expression, you know, like the engagement with the pedals and gear. Is it?
Absolutely. I love kind of, you can improvise a bit more. You can kind of, it's not as like set in stone. Like I found a thing a lot of times where, you know, if what is it with Fractal, it's like if I wanted to play something a little different or slightly different sound or tweak stuff, you know, having to get my computer out or, you know, get into the knobs and stuff like that just didn't feel very inspiring to me. But now it's just like, oh, you know what? I'm going to change the solo sound tonight and I'm going to use this one instead of this one. And I'm going to like maybe before the song, I'll tweak this a little bit and I'll set it back afterwards. Like it's just like a lot more tactile and it does sound really good too. There's some pedals that fuzz is kind of a hard thing to do. Digitally.
Yeah, digital clipping's kind of tough.
Exactly, but I really like, you know, I really like having this here. And then my secret weapon, I have to give another shout out to UAD. And it's not on this board, but my I have an amp sim pedal. I'm using the UAD Enigmatic.
Okay.
Which is sort of their approximation of a Dumble. And it, like, it's my favorite guitar sound I've ever had live. I feel like so inspired by it, and it just has like a little bit of a breakup, nothing crazy, but it takes pedals really well, and I don't know, I'm super into it. I was kind of blown away by it when I first, because you know, I didn't think that was like an accessible thing to have, like a Dumble.
Yeah,
and I didn't really know of any people who were doing clones of them or anything, but I had to try this one out. So I was like, it's like, when am I going to change? Yeah, it's like, I don't need to spend $100,000 on one of those, but you know, I just wanted to try it out. And the guys at UAD were super helpful, like helping me find something. Cause I knew I wanted to go tactile, like pedals. And I was like, would it be kind of cool just have it all live on one board? But then my appetite for pedals got a little bigger, then I ran out of space. So I leave it right over there by the amps, and where I have some DIs and some splitters and stuff to kind of
some mechanical things.
Yeah, exactly. Make it all work, and that way I don't accidentally mess with the knobs also, because I just leave it in one spot the whole time.
Set and forget it.
Yep, exactly.
The only thing that we haven't covered, and we can cruise onto some different instruments, is the Super Octave. How are you using that?
OC3. I love the Super Octave. This one I'm using, you know, I think right now I'm only using it on the solo on Love Me Different, which I kind of do. I usually play on the Strat, but it sounds good on this too. It's the, that's not it. So it kind of just does like a dirty octave below. And it's a sound I've been loving for a while, just doing like, I used to approximate bass sounds on it and sort of do. Like kind of like a synthy bass sound, but.
Yeah, getting after Joey. Going to Joey's territory.
But you know, every now and then you need it. I did that. There's a couple of Vampire Weekend songs that I use that on, and then this song I do. It's the solo kind of towards the end. You do it. That's the sound of that. I think I did it with like a, I did that on the record, but I can't remember how I did it on the record, but I didn't use that, but that sounds great to me. I think it's cutting live. It's nice.
Well, right on, Brian. Yeah. Is there any other guitars you want to give a look at?
Yeah, I would love to. Let's look at my, I just wanted to give a shout out to this guitar. I love this guitar. I'm a huge Cody and Cambria fan. This is the Claudio Sanchez signature guitar.
You did a great interview with him, on AP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, I remember I went over to his, I did that interview at his house, and he had like one of the prototypes at his house, and he let me play it, and I was like, it was so surreal to meet him in the first place, but then to get to like play that guitar like before a lot of people got to play it was super surreal too, and I was like, well, I absolutely have to get one of those. And I remember just DMing Dunnable, like I DM'd him like a handful of times, being like, hey, just curious when these guitars are coming out. I wasn't trying to like, you know, I wasn't trying to get one for free or anything. I just
trying
like,
to
you
jump
know,
in front of the line,
I was
Brian.
Just like, I just really want one of these.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting one of the first sale ones, and I bought it on Reverb, and I just like needed it. And it's been such a fun guitar to play. And then, but you know, a lot of people didn't try to buy them in that first run. So I was sort of one of the first people that Claudio got to see play live. And yeah. he came to our New York show, one of our New York shows. And
oh, cool.
Like, and he was very nice. He gave me another one. They're about to do another run, I guess. And he gave me another one that I have upstairs in my wardrobe case. But has like this beautiful wood finish. Maybe I'll grab it a little later. I can
what
show it to you guys.
What do you dig about, you know, getting familiar with this instrument?
Yeah.
Because like at first glance, obviously he's known for playing Explorers E2s back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's been your experience playing this instrument? Because there's a lot of curves and angles on it. So as a player.
Yeah. I mean, I think I said before, like I love a big guitar and I love a weird guitar. And this guitar is so, it just like kind of works. The balance is really nice. Like, it sits on me, like, perfectly. Like, it just, like, it feels very natural to play. And it truly, like, it feels great to play, and it sounds insane. Like, I use it for the heaviest song to say, and I use it for the most delicate song to say.
Okay, let's hear like, the juxtaposition.
Yeah, so I use it for Ice in My OJ, which I have a couple drive pedals on, little delay. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, wrong pickup. So I use it on that. Sounds so fun. It's just like huge. And it feels like just having a guitar that looks like this, like gold hardware, makes you feel cool.
You look like you're in a rock band for sure.
Yeah. And then I use every single of the 8 presets on the Pog 2.
Wow.
So for Dream Girl and Shibuya, which is one of the more gentle songs in the set, I have a cleaner tone and I will actually start the song out doing a little like slide approximation on this guitar. Or a pedal steel approximation.
Yeah.
Kind of getting that sound. And then I use this little octave sound in the chorus. It has a nice just. Like it's a beautiful sounding guitar.
Yeah.
I love playing through this guitar. So, yeah. Shout out to Claudio. Shout out Dunnable. Shout out Evil Instruments.
What was that like? Awesome. You know, it sounds like you guys have become quite familiar and friendly. But what was it like when you first got to introduce to Claudio and then had that interview?
Yeah, it was really crazy because I mean, Coheed was one of the first bands I fell in love with when I was learning how to play guitar. Like. I can play, you know, I know all the riffs from the first three Coheed albums. Like, that's how I like learned how to play guitar. It's how I learned how to play bass. It's so it was pretty surreal getting to meet him and him being such a sweet guy. And I kind of felt like a kinship with him. We have a lot of similar interests and other things like science fiction and Star Wars and all this. Like, that's kind of what we talked about more so. You know, I'm just a huge, huge fan of the band, so it was kind of surreal. I've gotten really lucky. Like, it's a similar thing with Haley. I was a huge Paramore fan growing up, and you know, people always ask me, it's like, what would be a cool, like, you know, gig? And I said, be cool to, you know, I will probably never get to play a Paramore. Maybe if Haley does something solo, like that'd be cool. So I kind of got to do both of those, which is cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I don't know. But meeting Claudio was incredible. He's the nicest dude, and very, very generous with his time and energy and. I got to go see them. They played. I had an off day in Maine this past year, and I got to or last year, and I they were playing a show, and I got to go hang out with them, and I felt like a Make-A-Wish kid. It was just like, I can't believe this is happening. It's so crazy. So huge fan of them. Nothing but nice things to say about the Coheed guys, and they're still making sick music.
Yeah.
No one gets that far in the career and still making.
Yeah,
like,
and like
great
the well
music.
Doesn't go dry with his narratives and his guitar playing.
It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know how he does it. It's amazing.
Well, Brian, should we cruise? Are there any other electrics you want to see?
I'll show you one more real quick.
Okay.
Can I get my Jag for 1 second? Okay, so this is the new Vintera 3 Jaguar, and I just got this. I saw this on a rack at the Fender Corona office when I was doing some demo videos for them a couple months before it came out, and I texted Matt immediately. I was like, I don't know whatever that pink Jag was, but I'm gonna need to get one of those. And it's a great little guitar. I use it on only a couple songs in the set, but I've been really loving getting to know it. I play it on Glum, which is one of the singles from the record. Yeah, I just want to give a shout out. I think it's a great guitar. I'm really loving everything from that collection too. The Ventura 3 stuff is really good.
Yeah.
I did a bunch of demos for those too, and I was kind of blown away. We got Haley one of the Mustangs.
Oh, cool.
From the collection. She uses it on a couple songs in the set too. So.
I don't think this is the guitar that you played on, but yeah. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about Parachute. Guitar tones happening on that song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Could you show us?
Yeah, I could. I use the jackhammer for that, but you know, I can show you what I do on that.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
That is another song I use the super octave on.
Because I know that's a big single and people love
yeah.
that song.
Oh, yeah, great song. Yeah, let me see if I can dial something real quick on that.
Yeah, see, so I'm sure we can get the jackhammer.
You know, can I get the jackhammer again real quick? So sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, or just whatever it's in, it's fine. I'm just showing them the Parachute tones real quick, which is, yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, all right, yeah, so we're back on the jackhammer.
Back on the jackhammer and show you a little, a couple of the
Parachute tones.
Parachute tones, yeah. So I start the song with this little weird patch that I made. Wow, it takes a second to tap dance. That is one of the things that is not perfect about it. It does take me like, sometimes like, oh, I need 5 seconds to change this sound.
You need like a cheat sheet.
Yeah. But I'll start with this kind of ethereal little sound, vibrato and stuff. And then we have this fun intro, so I do that for that. And then I tweak it over the course of like 2 seconds, and I still do it a little differently every time. I have never nailed it. But then the chorus, I do this one single line. What, still got the vibrato on? Yep. CD on that and the super octave kind of in conjunction to get a little more drive out of it.
Okay.
And then there's just one other section in the song where I just kind of go full fuzz and turn on all my distortions.
Wow, okay. We got fuzz and the 10 years on.
Yep, and I just it's a single, pretty much single note line. Just and there they would, I believe, I don't know if it's a in the industry referred to as this, but it's the yuck chord, which is like the two notes. Anyways, those are the sounds I use on Parachute.
You say yuck, I say yum.
I think they're delicious. I think they're great.
Brian, yeah. I thank you so much for your time, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You seem like an awesome dude, and it seems like your guys are having a lot of fun up here.
We're having a blast. We all are having a really fun time. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you guys for coming out. This is so fun.
Yeah, of course. We're going to cruise and talk to Logan quick.
Absolutely. Excellent.
Hey, everybody. I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So, as many of you know, D'Addario has been a longtime friend of PG, sponsoring Rig Rundowns, and they're a longtime friend of all the players with their Players Circle Rewards. I've been using it for years, and essentially, they will reward you for the gear you buy. Open it up, look inside, and there's a reward number. It's free and easy to sign up for. And as soon as you sign up, you immediately get some reward points just for putting your name in. After a while, you accumulate enough where you can buy more of this fantastic D'Addario gear. So as a Players Circle Rewards member, you get discounts on custom products and merch, you get free shipping, and you get a discount on the gear you're buying with your points or free gear, depending on that. And if you're charitable, you could donate your Players Reward points for musical education. So collect those points, buy the great gear, and let's get back to more rundowns.
All right, last but not least, we are joined by Logan. Logan, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Real good, man. Thank you for taking the time. You guys have been so gracious with your time today. I know this is a busy day before another show at the Ryman, but we're appreciative of it. So how did you get kind of brought into the family here? What was your entrance?
I actually used to live in Nashville.
Okay.
So I'm originally from New Zealand, and then I came over to Nashville when I was like about like 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
Just with like other bands, and then I just met people through music, and it was actually through the drummer in Paramore, Zach Farrow.
Oh, Half Noise.
Yeah, so Half Noise. So I actually started playing with Half Noise before I started doing anything Paramore related.
All right.
And then, so we just became all buddies, you know, and it was just like, and that's how I kind of met the whole Paramore, you know, crew. Yeah. And this was kind of like right before one of their records, After Laughter. And yeah, we were just like hanging out and kind of just became friends, yeah. You know? And so yeah, that's kind of just like how it started. I never thought that they would actually ask me to play in Paramore when it happened. Because I was kind of just like, I was just a guitarist, you know? And at that point, it was like Taylor and his brother were both the guitar players. Mm. So I didn't ever really think it could have been like an option, you know? And then they asked me to do the auxiliary role, and I was like, wait, I've never done keys live before, you know? It was like a whole new role. So I was kind of like taken by, you know, surprise, but I was like, absolutely,
yeah,
you know, I'll do it. So yeah, that's kind of how I got kind of like involved with all of them, kind of just like, started as just like friends first.
Yeah.
You know?
Good hang pays off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, honestly, that's kind of like how all of my gigs have kind of gone. It's just like, it's just through people, you know?
Yeah.
Like the connections that you make. It's like, it's not really like your resume. You
yeah.
know? It's all just about like the people you meet along the way. And then they kind of just want to, you know, just kind of ask you to play. Mostly because they just want to be around a good person
yeah.
too, you know? Of course, you gotta play and do your thing.
You can figure that out.
But no, I think it's just like, it's kind of just like
right on.
How it started, you know?
Well, it sounds organic, and it seems like everyone's kind of meshing so well up here. Speaking of that, on stage here, we've got an Epiphone. Tell me all about this thing.
So this is an Epiphone Crestwood. I got this in 2017, actually. Right. I found it. At Guitar Center, out of all places, in Nashville.
Okay.
And I had my eyes on one for like a long time, and then I saw this one, and then I was like, I just had to pull the trigger, you know?
There's so many just unique features on it, like the belt buckle,
or
like bridge there, tailpiece.
Yeah.
The mini buckers.
Yeah, exactly. So the mini humbuckers. But then I think aesthetically, there's a few things that I just loved about this guitar,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's kind of like the inlays here.
Yeah.
Because there's the, not the Crestwood, what's the other one? The Wilshire.
Wilshire, yeah.
So they're like pretty similar, but there's like a few subtle differences, you know, between the two. And then I always kind of like the Batwing headstock too, you know? I know it's a little bit, some people might not like it, but I just thought it was a cool thing about the guitar. It's had a few things done to it. Like I had to get it like refretted, and then I even had to get like a neck reset like a couple of years ago.
I bet.
You know, so it's like traveling with like a vintage guitar can. There's some obstacles for sure, you know. But I love having this thing out. It's been out with me, you know, for a long time.
How does this gear reflect what you would bring out for Paramore? I know the gig and the duties are different, but there's still some probably overlap.
There's a lot of similarities. Like this was a Paramore guitar that I used a lot.
Okay.
For this gig, it's like using way more single coils, you know? With Paramore, it's a lot more big humbucker kind of sounds, especially with like the older songs, you know? Just dirtier, kind of like just beefier sounds. Mm. This is kind of like a lot more like, especially within my world, what I'm doing, it's kind of more just like clean, modulated, bigger reverbs, but then you kind of have like some really fuzzy, you know, gated tones too, you know? It's kind of like in between that, like those kind of two worlds.
Brian, not to, you know, make you feel, you know, self-conscious or anything, but Brian gave you big credit to your sound building abilities. He said you're like an architect.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's like, I love that part of guitar, you know? It's like I always kind of gravitated towards it. Ever since I first started playing guitar, I was always like really captivated by different tones, you know? And how people did things and shaping things, you know?
Well, could you use this guitar here and kind of show us some of the sounds that you're getting out of it or using it for
the
show?
So this one, obviously the mini humbucker, so this one is used for more of the dirtier sounds, you know? So let's start with... Showbiz. So this is kind of just like it's just a gated fuzzy sound, you know? So it's kind of just like chokes it up,
yeah,
you know? So it's almost like, because I play a lot of synths live as well, so some of it's also like finding the hybrid between, it's like, oh, I want to play guitar on this, so I need to play guitar on this to converse, but then kind of making it a little synthy sounding, you know?
Because the album's really layered like that.
Yeah, for sure, you know? And some of that was like, kind of come up, we're like, we had to figure out how we wanted to execute these, you know? So it's like, so I'm kind of like, you know, doing a bit of both.
What was the fuzz on that gated?
So this is just this flare. It's like a flare fuzz machine.
Oh, all right.
So it's actually one of the ticks who got me onto this. I'd never heard of it before, but it's pretty much just based off of a fuzz factory. It is a fuzz factory, but it just has like a few other knobs, like the tone knob, you know? So that was like really, really useful for shaping that. So that's one of the tones that I use on that. And then let's go to like something like Parachute.
Yeah, you got everything programmed in here with these, you know, so Brian's kind of clicking on the fly.
Yeah, our rigs are kind of like completely different approaches, you know, not that there's like a right or wrong way.
No, yeah.
But this is how I've kind of made it easier on myself, should I say, you know. So it's like, because I have this all in like set list mode, and then patches per song, you know, and it all changes.
So we're looking at Parachute here.
So this is Parachute, and this is kind of like the big chorus sound. And then I can switch between the... I actually messed it up, but...
And we have to turn down the amps because we're at the Ryman. They're doing museum hours right now.
Yeah.
So like, I'm sure with you and Brian and Joey and the full band up at full flight, it's probably a big sound.
Yeah, it's a lot bigger, you know. And then, you know, I can quickly switch between, and then like my chorus patch will be something very clean like this.
I'm guessing that was the chorus, the echo fix.
Yeah,
here.
That's the echo fix, exactly. The chorus vibrato. And then there's the gnarly like bridge sound, which is kind of like really distorted mixed with flanger, you know? So that's like one tone that's kind of being kind of cohesive throughout kind of this record, and kind of leaning into kind of like this fuzzy flanger tone.
Yeah.
Which I've never really done before, you know? But that's like the...
Flange is such a character.
Like, yeah.
It's such a weird sound.
I've loved it. Oh, like I've really fallen in love with Flanger. And this is like the analoger AFG1. By Asheville Music Tools. Okay. I don't know if you're very familiar with them. This guy, his name's Hawker, and he used to build all the old like Moogafoga pedals.
Oh wow!
You know? And I'm a huge fan of those pedals. Like, I have about three of them back at home, and their chorus and flanger pedal, the Clusterflux. It's like one of my favorite pedals.
Yeah,
you know?
But they're big.
It's obviously so big.
Yeah,
but I love it. But anyway, it's like the same circuit, well, the same flanger circuit. And so I was like, I have to. I'm a big fan of that pedal.
Well, right on. Is there anything else you want to show us with the Epiphone, or should we move on to one of the others?
Let's move on to one of the others. Yeah.
But what are you using this on? What songs?
So in this one, I actually play like quite a bit of slide in the set, believe it or not.
Okay.
You know, so I've like raised the action on this guitar, you know, to try to get like more sustain out of it. So like a song like Ego Death, sorry, I just gotta flick through it. I could kind of do like. You know, like weird kind of tones like that, which is like, again, I'm using the flanger, you know? So it's like slide with flanger, which I've like never done before, you know? But I was like, it's very, very cool, in my opinion, you know, I found it.
And you're just layering. I know it's always like a thing when we do like NAMM demos or pedal demos of our own. It's like something on its own sounds obtuse, but in the mix, I'm sure it just fits perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then, you know, kind of have bigger patches like. And then I like get into like a more, like our last kind of chorus that gets into a more, or the bridge, a bit of a dirtier slide where it's like.
It's like some pitch shifting.
Yeah, so I have a, yeah, pitch shifting going on with the Eventide,
okay.
The H9, and then mixed back with the Flair Fuzz Machine. And yeah, I think there's like a compressor on there as well.
Now know. I see these, the Chase Bliss, what are they called? Automatone or?
Yeah. It's,
so this how are you using those things?
The Automatone. Yeah. So it's like, so that's the preamp and then the reverb obviously.
Okay.
So like, cause I have like the MIDI switcher, right? So it's like, I'm sending a lot of MIDI changes to the Eventide H9, the Timeline. The preamp and then the reverb by Chase Bliss.
Yeah, I'm seeing the faders move in real time.
Yeah, so it's like I'm able to like quickly, I don't know if this patch does it. Yeah, so it's like I'm switching between reverb sounds, you know, between depending on the patch, you know. And it's the same with overdrive. So some, like I have specific overdrives.
Yeah, yeah.
Specific for, you know, a song. So it's like I really carve out like what I want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, very specific for a song, as opposed to having just like one overdrive for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean these things have like 30 presets each, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm probably using about 10 maybe. You know, 10 different.
Still
ones.
Put them to work.
And I just think they sound amazing. You know, and I can get so many different tones, especially drive tones. Out of this preamp, you know.
Now, did you program this whole setup, or is that something you had one of your techs do?
No, I did the whole thing myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This board's, like, evolved over the years. I actually just rebuilt it. Wow, tech did, Joanne. Rebuilt it last month. So it was, like, a little bit smaller, but it was, like, the same concept. I had the same mastermind. I still had the Chase Bliss, the Timeline, the Eventide. And then, yeah, so there's so much that goes on the back end of it, you know, it's like, especially in rehearsals, we are just like really dialing everything in,
yeah.
How you want it, like so specific, especially drive and reverb sounds, you know, I get so particular about how I want them to sound. And then once I've found it, you know, it's like you save it and then you create like a preset.
Yeah.
And then with this, it's, you know, you switch the preset per song and it pulls it up. So yeah, it goes very deep on the back end of it, but it's like once you're playing live, it's like now I don't actually really hit any buttons because it's all done.
And old Brian over here is tap dancing.
Yeah, he's tap dancing. But it's like I have a lot to do even between like synth world, a lot to remember in between each song,
yeah.
You know? So this is a way just to like streamline it for myself, you know? And then yeah, everything's in setlist order, so I just scroll up and down, and then the only buttons I'm pushing is
this front row down here.
This front row, you know, if it's like a verse, chorus, bridge. Some is like one tone in an entire song, so don't switch anything.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the challenge of kind of recreating the album like in that yeah. process of the, you know, working things out with Daniel and Haley during those rehearsals?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of my favorite parts, honestly, is the just the sound design of figuring out how, you know, to recreate these sounds, but also elevating it in
yeah.
like a live sense, you know? Yeah, usually I always start to get it as close to the record as possible,
yeah.
You know? And then from there, it's kind of like, oh, I think it needs, you know, some more drive, or it could lift more here, you know? And it's kind of collective too, like, because Dan was kind of MDing it as well, so he'd be like, oh, let's try this as well, you know? But yeah, I love even getting down to like the reverb and drive sounds, you know, like I'll isolate things and then figure out like how I want the reverb trails, you know, and what kind of reverb I want and in terms of even like how bright or how dark and the decays, you know,
yeah.
like I get really into all of that, like per song, per patch, you
yeah.
know, and then once I've found it, yeah, kind of like save it. But yeah, it's like, it's honestly one of my favorite parts of the process is just like recreating, what you know, tones and and how to execute it in a live sense.
Yeah, and like almost spawning off those ideas, because like you said, you're trying to nail that kind of backbone of the song or the tone, but you guys are going to create your own sound too on stage.
Yeah, exactly. And also one of those things, kind of like what I was saying, is like there'll be like some tones from the record, and then you're like, oh, I liked it from this song, like let's put it in this song too, yeah, in the live sense, you know? So same with like the whole flanger thing. So I kind of like really adopted that, because there was a lot of flanger in certain songs. I was like, let's put it in this song now, you know?
Yeah.
And so it kind of like, just to give it a bit more flavor, you know, especially, yeah, just as it goes. But.
Well, should we move on to the, what we got over here, Jag?
Yeah.
Get the friendly Jag.
So this is my newest guitar that I just bought.
Now the Epiphone, I assume, before we move on, the Casino there, that's a newer one?
It's a newer one, yeah. Okay. I got it in 2022.
Okay.
It's just one of the American,
Gotcha. Yeah, oh yeah. I think it's called the Epiphone inspired by Gibson. Where they do some of the stuff here in Nashville.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so this is my latest guitar that I just bought a couple of months ago, actually. And this is a custom shop Jag, you know? So I've always wanted a custom shop Fender, and I've always fallen in love with the Inca Silver, you know? And I was just like, I've always loved that finish.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, did the checking come with it, or did you do this?
The checking did come with it.
Okay.
So this is like a series called the Deluxe Closet series.
Huh.
So there's some custom shops, you know, obviously they're all checked and marked, but this is kind of like the Deluxe Closet is where it's kind of just like, it's only the checking that they've done to it. So it's like, you see that it's like, there's not really any other blemishes to
No.
it, you know? So it's still kind of like, it's not over the top.
Yeah.
Know? Which I kind of thought was cool.
Love the matching headstock here.
Yeah, I feel like if you have a Jag, you kind of have to have the matching headstock. Yeah. Yeah. For some reason, it works on Jags and Jazzmasters. I haven't been a fan of it on like Strats or something, you know, the matching headstock. But with Jags, I think they look beautiful, you know.
I haven't asked yet, but what strings are you using?
So for this, yeah, I just use the 10-gauge D'Addario NYXLs.
All right.
And then for the other guitars, I'm using 11s.
All right. Yeah.
So it's been a while since I've gone to 10s, but when I first bought this guitar, it had 10s on, and I just kind of loved it. So I was just like, it felt good. So I was just like, let's try putting 10s back on this guitar.
You know? I see you got a little foam here.
Yeah, although this just came with it. I haven't taken it off, you know. This is just how the guitar came. But no, I don't use the
mute there.
The mute at all, you know.
How are you using that? Or not the mute, I'm sorry, but how are you using the guitar for the context of the band?
So, for this one, let's see which song. So, like a Disappearing Man. It's like kind of like this. So it's kind of like, you know, just that classic Fender single coil kind of sound,
yeah,
you know, and it's on the neck pickup. But I also have some pitch going on as well with that specific sound. So there's just like a higher octave, you
yeah,
know, kind of like that 12 string kind of
oh, yeah,
sound.
Approximate that.
Exactly. So yeah, all of the kind of more single coil sounding songs, I use this for. What's another good one? Like, yeah, like True Believer is like another one where it's just like. It's massive reverb. Really dreamy. But then I can switch to this nasty outro where it's like. So
you got it dialed in, man.
Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now the one things that we haven't touched on, I know that the timeline and Eventide we've touched with yeah, doing some heavy lifting, but the one thing we haven't given a shout out are the two to the right here. We have the color box, which I have never seen in like the gunmetal black or the
yeah,
black, and then the diamond over here.
Yeah, so actually, I should have done this with my Casino, but most of those are used with the Casino.
Okay.
So the Diamond Compressor, obviously, I use it a lot with the Sustain for slide.
Oh,
you know?
Makes sense.
And then the Color Box, I it's more of like another just like tone shaping tool where I use it. That's like one of the few pedals that I actually tweak on the fly a little bit. Just because there's a drastic difference between like how dark the neck is and how bright the bridge is on that guitar.
On the Casino there?
So depending on kind of like what pickup I'm using or what part, I'm kind of like dialing between like the treble and the bass a little bit.
All right.
Even some of the mids, you know.
And then Dimension C is another one we haven't really given a shout out to yet.
Yeah, Dimension C is just, we use that a lot in Paramore actually, especially the older 80s sounding After Laughter era of that record. But, you know, it's just that classic.
Can't mess with the Boss Chorus.
Yeah,
they did it right.
I usually use the Strat for that song. It's just like that classic, just like stratty 80s kind of like Sting sounding.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dimension C is one of my favorite modulation pedals, you know? And that's one of the original ones from the 80s. But yeah, it's one of my favorites. Been on my board for a very long time, actually.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, Logan, we do have to talk about amps. You see, you got a pair of AC30s back here.
Yeah.
How'd you land there?
I've played AC30s pretty much my entire guitar playing life.
Yeah.
I first got one, acquired one when I was like 15. And it was one of the Chinese, the CC2 ones, the first one I had. And then I've kind of just, my first one, actually, this is the very first one that I bought when I moved to America.
Nice.
And that was just like one of the 90s Top Boost ones. That one has greenbacks in it. And I first started touring with this one, but then it kind of, there was a few things that was like a little unreliable about it, just like noises, okay. You know? So then reached out to Vox and they got me one of the newer Hanwhite ones.
Nice.
So that's kind of been like my go-to amp for like the last 8 years.
And what speakers are in here?
Those are the Blues.
Okay.
Yeah, the Elnico Blues. So yeah, and it's just like, I mean, I play various amps. Like I also have like deluxe reverbs, but I've just always loved how Voxes handle pedals, honestly. Mm. Like how they handle drives, and just how they open up. Like, and now it's kind of just like a part of my sound. I just know how they work.
Yeah.
You know? Right at this point, it's just like, I just know how what I want to hear and what I can get out of them. So
well, you got a lot of tweaking here and finer, you know, subtleties here that you're dealing with. So it's like good to have a home base.
Yeah, exactly.
You know where it starts.
Consistent. I know what it is. I know what they sound like. And then
and you get crazier from here.
Exactly. That kind of shapes all of the tones.
Well, Logan, thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it. This is a special treat. You guys, the crew, the bands have been awesome. We thank you for your hospitality.
Yeah, of course.
And we thank you guys for watching.